Have you heard the story that's about a guy who lives in a bank that is really close by?
The Capital One Cafe is his home, no doubt, where customers bank and get their cash out.
There's no fees or minimums on checking accounts, so your money stays. Most Capital One Cafes are open all 7 days. This magical place, as some people might call it, is where the Capital One bank guy says,
"What's in your wallet?"
Such a lovely tale.
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
The analysis of the notes with Lucas and Clara from El Comercio from Ecuador.
Okay, let's unpack this. We've got these sources about a really high-stakes diplomatic effort happening in Istanbul this November.
That's right. A major meeting.
Yeah, and we're going to drill down into how eight, you know, pretty powerful Muslim nations are trying to figure out their next steps on the Gaza conflict.
Mm-hmm. Coordinating their approach.
So our mission today for you, the listener, is pretty straightforward. Let's try and get past the usual headlines, because the report suggests the real challenge might not be, you know, external.
You mean internal?
Exactly. It seems like it's about managing some pretty deep internal friction among these big players before they even really sit down to negotiate outwards.
That's the key point.
So we need to map out who's actually going to be there, what are their specific goals, and what are those, like, immediate diplomatic roadblocks they're facing.
Well, what's really fascinating here, I think, is the sheer geopolitical wheat gathering on Monday, November 3rd, 2025. This deep dive really centers on the foreign ministers from Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Qatar, Egypt, Jordan, Indonesia, Pakistan, and naturally, Turkey, the host.
Wow, okay. That's a heavy-hitting group.
It really is. Think about that combined influence. This isn't just, you know, some regional meeting. It's a huge global economic force, a religious force, too, trying to move beyond just statements.
Towards actual coordination.
Exactly. Towards coordinated, actionable steps for what they're calling a new phase of the peace process.
And importantly, this isn't like their first meeting on this, right?
No, not at all. They previously met alongside U.S. President Donald Trump back in September at the U.N. General Assembly.
Right. So that meeting kind of sets the stage. They're not starting from zero. They're trying to make a significant jump here in coordinated diplomacy.
Precisely. This specific group holds arguably the most immediate diplomatic clout and economic leverage, too.
Which makes the announcement by the Turkish foreign minister, Hakan Fidan, even more significant then.
Absolutely, because he didn't just announce the meeting. He kind of established the crucial starting point for the negotiations.
And he did that by, well, he threw everyone a bit of a curveball, didn't he?
Yeah.
Calling Trump's proposed ceasefire plan a foundation for a historic agreement.
Yes, and even labeling it a genuine light of hope.
That feels like a massive unified endorsement of one specific path forward. A pre-existing one.
It does. And strategically, by calling it a foundation, they potentially save a lot of time, right? They have a common document instead of arguing over, you know, initial terms from scratch.
Makes sense.
But the agenda itself, the reported agenda, shows just how tough moving forward actually is. The ministers are meeting specifically to review the main obstacles that are still there.
Okay, so obstacles within the plan itself or obstacles between them?
Likely both. Right. And it's not just local stuff either. They're also tackling this really vital logistical challenge, making sure they have clear dialogue routes with Western countries.
Ah, okay. So getting their message straight for places like Brussels, London.
Exactly. And critically, confirming Washington's continued backing. That's seen as essential, really, to enforce any kind of long-term deal.
And Turkey, as the host, seems to be pushing hard for a leadership role here. They're holding the summit, running this intense diplomatic schedule.
Oh, absolutely. And even offering to step in as a peace guarantor. They've proposed sending Turkish troops for an international peacekeeping mission.
Right. But doesn't seeking that deeper role immediately hit a snag?
Well, this raises that important question about, you know, leverage versus limitations. If you connect the dots in the sources, Turkey's attempt at really active participation seems to have been complicated right out of the gate. Israel has openly rejected Turkey's involvement, flat out.
Rejected it. Why?
The reason given is Ankara's, quote, close ties with the Islamist group Hamas. And that refusal, that immediate pushback, it really highlights the limited diplomatic room to maneuver that this whole bloc faces, even when they're just trying to coordinate internally.
Wait, hold on. So Turkey, the country hosting this crucial summit, the nation offering its own military to help stabilize things, is already kind of politically sidelined from the core mission because of its ties to Hamas.
That seems to be the immediate implication based on the reports, yes.
Wow. It's like a throwing a big party, but the host isn't allowed near the guest of honor.
Yeah.
That's some serious friction.
It is intense.
So wrapping this up, what does this all mean for you listening? Well, this Istanbul meeting is clearly key for defining the joint stance of this really powerful Muslim bloc.
Mm-hmm.
But it also dramatically shows how existing political relationships, specifically Ankara's connection to Hamas, are creating significant internal problems before they can even get a unified external approach together.
Yeah, the potential for a lasting consensus is there, maybe, but the sources suggest the price might be certain, you know, historic allies having to take a step back.
So here's the thought to leave you with. The Turkish foreign minister called Trump's plan a light of hope. But given that this major diplomatic rejection hinges entirely on Turkey's own political ties, does that light of hope depend less on collective action? And maybe more on which of these historic allies is willing to accept being sidelined, perhaps for the, quote, greater good of the negotiation itself?
A tough question.
Something to think about. If this deep dive helped you get a clearer picture of this complex diplomatic dance, please do subscribe and maybe share it with others who follow these issues.
We really appreciate your support.
Comment, subscribe, and share. More information at www.commerce.com.